Matthew chapter 14. I can do this in 15 minutes. I am professional at speaking a deep talk in a matter of seconds, a matter of minutes. I'm trained in this. When I was in Bible school, the very first church that I went to as an intern was Dorset Park Baptist Church in Scarborough. And there was four of us as interns, and the pastor said, "Who would like to preach? Which one of you would like to preach first?" And there was one young guy that was a real go-getter, and his hand's up, and yes, I'm ready, and all this kind of stuff. And the pastor said, "Okay, good. For the next 3 weeks, you're in the nursery." And he's like, "What do you mean in the nursery?" It's like, "I want you to learn what it's like when preachers go overtime for the nursery workers. And so you're in the nursery for the next 3 weeks. And then we'll see if you can preach." And it was like, he learned a lesson real quick. I decided, I don't need to learn that lesson. I think I just learned the lesson. Don't be long. So, Matthew chapter 14, here's what the passage is picking up. This is right after Jesus has fed the 5,000, which is what we looked at last week. Verse 22, immediately after this, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray, and when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, which is like 3 a.m, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. Now, the other passages say that he did not intend to show himself. He is simply there to pray for them and walk them through the storm. If you read all the passages, that's what it says. He's not intending to be noticed. He's just there to be an intercessor because he realizes they're in trouble. So that's what he's doing, is walking on the lake. Verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. Now, in Canada, we're used to people walking on the water all the time. We call it ice. We call it winter. So it just happened. We don't get freaked out by that, do we? In the summer, maybe. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Do you see those words? That's going to be point number two. Take courage, it's I, don't be afraid. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you in the water." Now these guys have just thought they've seen a ghost. They've just heard a voice from a ghost. But Peter recognizes the voice, and because he recognizes the voice, he's about to do what no one else has ever done in history. "Come," the voice says to him. Jesus said to him. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and it would appear that the word walked means a period of time, a short period of time, that he is actually walking on the water towards Jesus. And he came towards Jesus. Because it appears that Jesus, again, is standing off to the side. He's not walking towards Jesus. He's standing. Peter's going to him. Verse 30. "But when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.'" That's a very good prayer, folks. Write that one down for any hard time that you're coming up into. "Lord, save me" is a very good prayer. Verse 31, immediately Jesus reached out his hand, so Peter got a long way. He got far enough away to where Jesus was standing. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and he caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" So doubting and having a little bit of faith are hand in hand. When you do not doubt, you're having faith and having great faith. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshiped Jesus, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So we want to talk this morning about sinking or soaking. And I think most of us, right away from the title, are going to go with the soaking part as a preference. So how do we take the kingdom of God? This whole series we've been in, this four-part series, talking about how do you and I advance the kingdom? And the first big point that I want to talk to you about is from verses 22 and 23, is that Jesus took time out with God. And so it says, after Jesus had dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside to pray. And there is something that we see all the way through the life of Jesus, is these timeouts, these reflective times. Let me ask you a question. When we were worshiping this morning, when Ian came up and led us through a time of just being in the presence of God, did you feel recharged? Did you feel the presence of God? Did you feel this energy, the spiritual energy, the Holy Spirit just charging you up? Did you feel that? Did you notice that? That's how Jesus had those kind of moments with his Father, and he had them on a regular basis. And so we provide a corporate experience for you every week. hopefully in your cell group, is going to be a little bit of a recharge as well. But I also recognize that we need to be doing those kind of things by ourselves. And so I want to encourage you, if you're not taking time out with God during the week, to be thinking of doing that on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, and however it works out, but just finding some time, finding some space, being in the presence of God. Sandra spends a lot of time in the evenings with, she goes into, we have a little prayer room that we have, there's a bed in there as well, and she goes in, she lies on the floor, and she just has some time out. I'm more of, just sort of on a busy time during the day, I like to come over into our prayer room and just be in the prayer room for a few minutes at a time and just to enjoy the presence of God, to get recharged, to get connected. And I'm telling you folks that this is one of the keys for Jesus of how he stayed in touch, how he was able to hear from his Father, and how he's able to do things in the anointing is by taking time out with God. So your cell phone needs a charge, yes or no? Does your computer, your laptop need to be charged up to work? Does your body need to sleep? Do you need a spiritual recharge?
Yes.
Yes, but a lot of us don't take one. You're running on empty. Your battery needs to be recharged on a regular basis. Don't just wait for Sundays for that. Number two is by knowing that God's with us. If you know that God's with you and you can hear his voice, boy, oh boy, does that make a difference, especially during tough times. Sandra and I have had a lot of these tough times where it's like, just what do we do in this situation? What about this? What about this? What about this? And if you hear the voice of the Lord, that will just change everything. I know that my wife makes fun of me every time I tell the story of when our pastors went camping and my canoe tipped over. And don't laugh, please. But it was really cold. The water was freezing. And my son Chris, who was in my canoe, he's got hypothermia almost instantly. And he says to me within seconds of us being tossed into the water up in Algonquin Park on a snowy day, "Dad, I can't feel my feet." And I heard a voice say to me, "Steve, you're going to die right here." Like, that was it. It was like the voice said, "Steve, you're going to drown right here. And we've got to swim twice as far as the back wall to get to the shore in freezing cold water." And Christopher, my son, can't feel his legs within seconds. And so I went on my back and put his head on my chest and dragged him, like swam backwards to get to the shore. And as soon as I hear this voice, before I could even say, "God, do you have a second opinion?" I heard the second opinion. And my father spoke to me and said, "Steve, this is going to be a great story." That's why I keep telling the story. This is going to be a great story. And my father spoke to me and it was like, okay, we're going to be fine. It's not going to be a problem. And so I did not panic. I didn't do any of the negative kind of things. And we got to shore and we remembered all the things that you're supposed to do, which is to strip down and get naked. And it's like a little uncomfortable with your son as you're huddling together, each of you, and the other guys are trying to get their canoes into shore and without, because there's waves and all that kind of stuff. And it took a long time. And I can remember I prayed with Christopher right there. And it's like, "Christopher, what was Satan saying to you?" He was saying, "I was going to die." Well, I want you to close your eyes and just listen to the voice of your father right now. I want you to picture yourself in the water again. And we did the listening prayer thing. What are you sensing? And it's like, "Well, it's terrible." "What's your daddy saying?" "You're going to be okay." And it's like, "Well, what are you going to believe?" Well, he was already unsure, so it was easy to believe. And we just dealt with the lies of that experience right then and there. And friends, I'm here to tell you that Peter had one of those moments when all of a sudden he's trying to step out. He's trying to do what he feels God's asked him to do. And he's walking on the water. And he hears, or sorry, before he gets on the water, he hears this voice. And the voice says, "It's me, come." And he comes, doesn't he? He gets out and he attempts something. And friends, the voice of the Lord is going to save you. And so if you have not taken the course that we offer called Hearing God's Voice with Mark Verkler, we do it like four times a year. I think the next time we're going to be offering it is in September. You need to take that course. You need to learn how to, in a second, be able to hear the voice of the Lord. A number of years ago, we did one of the schools, our leader schools in Kenya. And I remember talking to a pastor. I was the very last speaker. This was when we were doing 3-week schools. Connie and Jeremy were in the middle, and I was the week after them. And so I got to be there after 3 or 4 weeks, and we had school of ministry students teaching pastors and bishops how to hear the voice of the Lord, and none of them could hear the voice of the Lord when they needed to. Their habit was that they would fast for 40 days and 40 nights and ask God one question, and they wouldn't always get an answer. And here this young school of ministry student comes along and says, well, we're going to teach you how to hear God's voice right now. And they're, who are you? They're wearing jeans and a t-shirt. To be important in Africa, you have to have a white shirt. And they're not wearing white shirts. And these young guys are just teaching these pastors how simple it is to hear the voice of God using Mark Verkler's things, which are stolen from the scriptures. Not stolen, he's taken them from the scriptures. And here this pastor, one of these bishops, came to me at the very end, and he's been there, and he goes, can I just tell you that these young people that you sent over, these school of ministry students, he said, they've changed my life. And he told me, he said, I used to fast for 40 days in order to ask God one question, and sometimes he didn't give me an answer. 40 days going without food and not getting an answer. And these young guys teach me how to hear God. And he goes, now God won't shut up. That's what he said. God won't shut up. And it's like, well, I think he wanted to tell you a whole bunch of things. And see, our problem is most of us haven't learned to tune in. God's not the problem of speaking. It's us learning to tune in, because the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. So if you haven't taken that course and you haven't learned to hear the voice of God, you need to do it. And so Peter is able to step out and attempt something. If Peter doesn't step out here, he's not going to step out other times, is he? He's not going to have the chance, because he's dead. Like, he's going to drown in this storm if this isn't God. And he's a bold man, and so he does something that no one else is willing to do in the boat. And he jumps out, and Holy Spirit is right there with him. And I want to encourage you, these are the key words. When you spend time with the Lord, you're able to hear these kind of words about don't fear, have courage, I'm with you. Those kind of words are going to help you when you need to make decisions, when you need to have direction. John Arnott was telling me, he met with some of the business leaders, the high-end business leaders in our church about 3 weeks ago, and was just meeting with them, and John told me he found it fascinating that all of these executives that are part of our church, they take time to soak, they take time to hear the voice of the Lord, and that's one of the keys for their expertise in business. That's how they get to the top, is by having these timeouts and hearing the voice of the Lord and learning to be directed by the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, friends, this is a big deal. Number three, we advance the kingdom by stepping out of the boat. Stepping out of the boat. Everyone stand up. Pretend to take a step to your right or left, like out of the boat. You got to jump over the gunwale or whatever the side thing is. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, you can sit down again. Jump back in your boat. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you in the water. Come, he said. Peter got down out of the boat, and he walked on the water and came towards Jesus. So finally we get one of the disciples doing it. And friends, here's a couple little insurance things for you. When you get some ideas, first of all, if the idea that you get is not in the Bible, and let's rephrase that. If it's opposing the truth of the Bible, that's not God. So you are wired, unfortunately, to have two voices, to hear at least two voices. You're wired to hear God, you're wired to hear Satan. Everyone in this room is very good at hearing Satan. Is that not true? Do you know what his voice sounds like? Does he give you temptations? Steal candy bars, steal pens from work, steal whatever. You get those kind of things all the time. Don't give up, don't do this, don't do that. And all of us know what that voice is, and that voice is almost always condemning. It's almost always speaking in a critical way when it talks about issues in our heart and in our life. The Father's voice is kind, it's loving. Yes, it can be very rebuking at times. And just say, Steve, what are you doing right now? Well, Satan wouldn't care what I'm doing. But my daddy would. And so learning to differentiate between these voices, and if you feel that you're supposed to do something that goes against the scriptures, you can just rule that out right away. That was not your daddy. I would encourage you that one of the safer things to do is when you get a weird idea is to talk to someone else. Your cell leader would be a great person to talk to. If you have a prayer partner, they would be a great person to talk to. That's one of the benefits of being in a cell group, by the way, is that you just have people that you can share with that get to know you. So there's a couple of the men in my cell that share their they're directional things. If they feel the Lord saying, do this, do this, they just send me an email and here they show me their journal. They just, here's the things that I felt from the Lord. What do you think? And so I find that a real privilege to be able to just, Holy Spirit, what do you think on that? But can I tell you, there's going to be times when God speaks to you about doing something and your friends are not going to agree with you. But if you know in your spirit it's God, you got to do it. Do you think Peter asked the other guys in the boat, do you think I should go out? If he'd asked them that, there's no record of him asking that, but if he'd asked them, what do you think they're going to say? Well, I know what Thomas is going to say. You're going to die. Isn't that what he's going to say? There may be a couple who are going, yeah, we don't like you, go. We don't get along with you, yeah, go out there and see if that's Jesus or not. I don't know what the conversation would have been, but I'm quite sure that these folks would not have been encouraging Peter to jump out of the boat. And so there are times when you're by yourself and it's just you and God. And even on those days, you need to do what the Lord says. Sandra and I have had people come to us from this church and said, this is what we feel God's saying. And we're going inside, we're going, I don't know. And all I try to do is tell me about the voice. Tell me about the tone of the voice that you heard, the thoughts that came to you. What were you feeling? And that what I'm looking at is which voice was telling them. Because even if I don't think that that's the wisest thing to do, if it's their daddy, they have to do it. So why did Peter sink? He looked at the waves, didn't he? And friends, the circumstances around us are always going to be negative. They're always going to be opposing what the will of God is. They're going to be challenges. And if Satan has to bring those storms and bring those negative things, and sometimes the negative things are friends even, that don't agree with you and don't see the things the same way that you do. But I'm here to tell you that don't get distracted by the circumstances. Do you remember what the Bible says about the things that are seen and unseen? Which is more real? The unseen realm. The voice of your Father. The Father's presence is unseen, and yet it's more real than waves are, than storms are, than financial crisis is, than relationship struggles are, than health problems are. So when your doctor says to you, you have cancer, what's your first thought? Well, most first people's thought is they hear from Satan, and it's like Satan's going, uh-huh, that's right, you're going to die. That's the way it goes. That's the first thought that comes to most people. Most of us have not trained ourselves to go, Daddy, what do you say? And to purposely listen to our Father in those kind of times, to listen for that voice that says, I'm with you, be of courage, don't be afraid. And so when the circumstances force their way in on you and me, we need to step back. And friends, this is why you need to be a good soaker. Because when you're a good soaker, you get to be a good listener. When you get to be a good listener, you get to be a good obeyer and a person who's able to have those breakthroughs, which we just sung about. All built on each other. And the Holy Spirit wants to be able to speak into your life on the darkest days and give you the direction that your daddy would like you to the road that he'd like you to take. The voice that you need to hear is available for you. Sounds right? Sounds right. Do I have any more? Yes, I do. Stand up. Can I get you to get in twos real quick? Find a friend beside you. Find a stranger beside you. If you need to be in a three, that's okay. But a two's better. Just find a couple people around. If you're by yourself, just go up to another group and say, can I join you and get in a three? You got 2 minutes. Of these three things that are on the screen right now, of taking time out with God, or sensing his presence and knowing his voice, or the boldness to do what God's saying, I'd like you to just say, the hardest one of those three for me is this. And then to pray for each other that God would help you this week to be able to make some positive steps in that one. Would that be all right? You can't say all three. Got to say one of those three is the hardest one for me. Go. You got 3 minutes, 1 minute each if you're in a group of three. Okay, stop talking, start praying. Lay hands on one person at a time. If you're in a two, that's an easy one. If you're in a group of three, just pick one of them and say, Father, help my friend to be able to spend time with God this week. Maybe it's number two, help my friend to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. Help them to know his presence. Maybe it's number three that's the big one. Father, we pray for boldness for my friend to be able to be active in the things that God's called them to do. May they not be afraid. May they not be intimidated. May they not be cut short by the circumstances of life that are around them. Pray those kind of prayers. If you're in a group of three, switch on to, or sorry, if you're a group of, let me just phrase that. If you're in any group, switch to the next person now. And if you're in a group of three, the person who's just been prayed for, you need to pray for the next two. You need to pray for the next two people. So lay your hands on two of them right now and just begin to minister. So switch over and pray for the other person now. You've got one more minute. Remember, the anointing of the Holy Spirit goes from your hand into that person. So put your hand on their hand. Put your hand on their shoulder as you pray. This is where authority and power is released as you touch another person. God's able to make your prayer count. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. 15 seconds, so wrap up your ministry. Can I get you to take a seat for another 2 minutes, please? The things that I was just talking about today, about hearing God's voice, sensing his presence, him being able to help you, I have good news and bad news. What would you like first? The good news, I think I heard that the most. The good news is that if you're a follower of Jesus, an active follower of Jesus, those are your benefits. That's part of the package. It's like when you get an American Express card, of which I have one on behalf of the church. So when I get my American Express card, their logo is membership has its privileges. Correct? Membership has its privileges. As a child of God, the whole word child means that you have a Father in heaven who hears you, who knows you, knows all of the circumstances that are going on in your life. And that's one of the reasons why we call God Father. And we're called the children of God. We're called his sons and his daughters, is because we have a relationship with him and we can talk to him and he can talk to us. The bad news this morning is that if you're not a follower of Jesus, you're not wired to hear God this way. God can talk to you, and I know that many people he does talk to, but you're not wired on the inside. You're wired on the outside to sense things, but not on the inside to have someone inside you to tell you what's going on, to warn you, to help you in all these different challenges that life's going to bring you. And the amazing good news for you, if you're in that situation today that you haven't connected with Jesus in a formal way, is that you can connect with him today. You can get to know your daddy right this morning. And it's just a choice. It's one of your choices that you get to make. It's a massive choice. The choice that I'm going to encourage you to make this morning is more important than which house you're going to buy. It's more important than who you're going to marry. It's a choice to have Jesus come and live inside you. Because when he comes and lives inside you, there's all sorts of benefits that come. And the biggest benefit is not hearing from him. The biggest benefit is having all of your sin taken away. Because the Bible says that one little sin in your life or in my life separates us from God. That's the problem. That's why we can't hear right. Sin separates us. And you're here and saying, well, what's sin? Well, I'll tell you what sin is. Sin is not just a list of do's and don'ts. Sin is, at its worst, is an attitude which says this: I don't need anyone's help. I don't need God's help. And if that's the way you've been thinking, if that's the way you've been living, then the Bible says you are a chief sinner. Like, you're at the top of the list of being separated from God. And the amazing good news is that can change with a heart choice this morning to say, I acknowledge that I have sinned. I acknowledge that I'm separated from God. And I do want to have my sins looked after to get rid of my sin. And the way that Jesus looked after that is that he chose, because he loved you from a distance up in heaven. He saw you even before you were born. The Bible says that you were created by your Father. Jesus knew you before you were born. And he loved you so much from a distance. And he said, I'm going to come and live on planet Earth. I'm going to hang around with these people for 30-something years. And the Bible says, and we celebrate it at Easter, that he died for you and for me. And all of my sin, if I choose, I can give it to Jesus. And when he died on the cross 2,000 years ago, that death is still valid for today, as it were. Is that his sacrifice then counts for today. It was eternity, as it was. And so what I'm able to do is I'm able to say, Jesus, I'm acknowledging that I have sin in my life. I would like to get rid of my sin. I would like to give it to you. I would like to have a trade and have the eternity that's in you. The relationship that you have with Father God, I'd like that to be in me so that I can have a relationship with Father God, so that I can see, I can be led by your Spirit. I can be led by you as one of your children. And if you're here this morning and you've never actively given your life to Jesus, and you may have grown up in a church, in a culture that says that if you attend that church that you're in, I'm here to tell you, you're not. If you're born in McDonald's, does that make you a hamburger? No. If you're in Tim Hortons, does that make you a police officer? No. It's a bad joke. Going to church does not make you a Christian. It does not make you a Christian. It's a choice that you need to make. Could I get everyone to stand with me? I'd like to say a prayer for all of you that are here this morning that are uncertain as to if you were to die right now, where you would be in eternity. If you're unsure, you can make sure this morning. And that's a prayer that I'm going to lead you in to give your life to Jesus. And so if you're comfortable to say this prayer, I'm going to have you say this prayer with me. And at the end of saying the prayer, I'm going to ask you to just come up to the front, and my wife and I are going to pray with you, and some of the other of our team are going to come and pray with you, and we're just going to congratulate you. Would that be okay? Like this? Yes? Let's pray this prayer together. Why don't you repeat after me? Jesus, I acknowledge my need of you. I'm admitting that I need a Savior. I need a life manager. I need Jesus. And Jesus, I believe that you died for me and that you rose again for me and for all of my past. And I give you my past today. And I would like your future today. Would you put eternity in me? I give you my life. And I welcome your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, to live inside of me, to communicate to me, to help me make decisions, help me make choices. That's what I want. That's what I choose today. Amen. Now, how many of you don't recall saying that kind of prayer before, and you're praying that prayer maybe for the very first time? Or maybe you're unsure and you're saying that prayer just to make sure, and you're wanting to connect with Jesus today. Can I get you to wave your hand like this if you're saying the prayer? Where are you, folks? Wave your hand. wave your hand. I don't see hands waving, so that means I need to look harder or you need to wave harder. Wave your hands, folks. Never prayed this prayer before. There's one hand over there, two hands, I think, that I see. Anyone else that's here this morning? If you brought a friend, can I just get you to lean over to your friend and say, if you want to put your hand up, I'll come with you to the front. Can you just lean over if you brought a friend this morning? Say, he's going to get you to the front in a moment. I'll go with you. I'm not sure who was over here that put their hand up, but I think I saw at least one hand. Was there someone that waved over there? There you are. Can I get you to come on up? And if you have a friend, bring your friend. Good. Is there anyone else here this morning? Anyone else here this morning? This is a big deal, friends, isn't it, to give your life to Jesus? How many of you have already given your life to Jesus? Good. Come on up here, guys. This is Janelle, and what's your friend?
Gabor.
And he's given his life to Jesus before, but this is her first time to say the prayer. What we do is we have everyone point their hand at you and just speak a blessing over you. Would that be all right? So church, why don't we do that? There's other folks that have come up to the front here as well. Let's stretch our hands towards these friends here. Holy Spirit, we're asking Holy Spirit that you'd come and that transformation process of eternity coming into you right now, of the Holy Spirit coming to you, cleansing you of your sin. We're asking that everything of your past leaves right now in the name of Jesus. And eternity finds its way right into your body right now, into your soul, into your very spirit. God comes and he lands in you right now and he fills you. And I'm asking that Holy Spirit that they'd be able to feel God with them right now, that they would know that they know God's with me. He knows my name. He's got my address. I'm his. He's mine. Spirit of God, come. Spirit of God, come. Come. I'm just going to let the folks that are with you just to keep praying with you. Church family, why don't you grab hands with one other person? Those of you in the front, do you mind just going with my wife Sandra just over to the side over here where it's going to be a little quieter? You can go with her as well. Yeah. Everyone's got someone's hand. In 30 seconds, I'm going to have you speak a blessing over them. So you got to be thinking of what you want to say to the person beside you. Father, I am asking that during difficult times that may come this week for some of us, challenging times that may come this week, Father, may we not have to even ask you and say, Daddy, what do you think? We're asking, Father, that you would be jumping right in and just speaking life to us. And Father, all the things that we need to know before we go into a business meeting, before we talk to our children, before we're with our parents, before we write an exam, all the things that we need to know, Father, could you communicate that to us? Father, we're asking to be able to hear your voice. We're asking during dark times, difficult times, challenging times, to feel your presence and know that Jesus is with us. He's right there, even in the storm. Was just a boat length away, as it were. Right there, watching them. And I want you to remember that the reason Jesus walked on the water was not to show off. The reason he walked on the water was because he cared for the 12 men that were in this storm. And he wants to be there and pray and be close to them. I don't think he even thought about this as walking on water. He just did it because he needed to be there. And I'm saying to you that your daddy, Jesus, Holy Spirit, they're there for you. And I speak that into your life, that you would know that you know that you know that you're not alone, that you have a father who loves you and is with you. Now pray a blessing over the person beside you. Go. Go.